You know, just interested to hear a little bit about what's on your new technology radar screen at EMC. And, you know, I don't know if you want to start from the highest priority stuff and work down, or, you know, or if you don't, maybe you don't think about things in that way.
Well, no, I certainly do. I mean, the when we talked about some of the areas, even in the, on the panel, I think that, you know, obviously, there's always innovations in the whole storage technology space, and that's just a lot of internal innovation, and then also looking at the next gen capability set. So that, you know, that put that in one bucket that we're most known for. I think an area of great innovation that we're spending a lot of time on. And I do personally, is around virtual data center and private cloud computing. I think this is absolutely transformational, and I think that EMC and with VMware are in a very unique position to actually have very much a leadership position, and with partners like Cisco, to actually really transform the way that we deliver IT capabilities and then utilize IT capabilities.
And what do you guys mean when you say the private cloud?
Yeah, what I mean by the private cloud is that in my opinion, the challenge, what's different this time, right? I mean, I was very involved in grid computing and on-demand computing at IBM. I was the chief architect for on-demand at IBM. So what's different is that grid and on-demand have evolved into virtualization and cloud. And
a lot of the same concepts are kind of being sort of recycled and reevaluated, I guess.
Right, and new approaches being taken to those problems. And with grid, in the prior generation, I think, you know, the model of utility computing really was one where you kind of you run your own IT, or you outsource or out-task your IT, and you throw it over the wall. And in that model, when you turn over some dimension of your processing to a third-party service provider, all you really could establish was an SLA, that some contractual commitment to quality of service on the resources or functions that you were taking advantage of. How those capabilities were being provided was entirely opaque. And so you consume a service, and your contract specifies an SLA, and that's about all the visibility or control or influence that you actually have. In the private cloud, what we mean by that term is that with virtualization as a starting point, we have the opportunity to basically lift the entire definition and all of the controlling software associated with running an application environment in-house, lifting it and moving it, or stretching it even, to another facility, whether that's owned by the company or outsourced, out-tasked in terms of the resource deployment. With that comes the potential that if it's your environment and you understand how it's built and constructed, and it's your policies, and it's your management software, and it's your data, then you have the ability to get transparency to those assets, and it's you controlling the resource, the application provisioning. It's you controlling the security, you controlling the policy management, and that's very different. And you can't do that if it's just an opaque, you know, throw it over the wall and consume it through a service.
Yeah.
So that's what we think is fundamentally different. It's differentiating and enabling, and the ability to actually create an elastic environment where I have the same deployment, but it's across different physical infrastructures, but we can, through networking, secure networking, we can connect them together. Through storage virtualization, we can provide access to that information from multiple sites, and then provide the management software that actually is itself hosted virtually in containers, so that you can actually span it across the physical topologies.
Mm-hmm.
Creates this opportunity for a secure private cloud for management, and I think, Scott, that this actually addresses one of the biggest challenges to the adoption of utility computing before, which was this chasm that said, I know it's not effective for me to control and manage and run IT in a particular area, particular functions myself on-prem, but I have absolutely no control over it if I outsource it, so I'm stuck.
Right. So something in the middle in terms of the controllability and probably the cost too.
Right.
I mean, it's not taking
advantage of the cost of optimization provided by third-party providers, and virtualization there again is a huge enabler. But mm-hmm. then maintaining the control is a hybrid model that we think could be very different.
The other thing I was curious to ask about is just the consumer business. I mean, you know, is there anything new going on there aside from just, you know, so you guys acquired Mozy, and I'm sure that continues to grow. But I mean, is that a business that you guys think about?
Yeah,
hey, there are other needs and other products.
Right. So this is actually, you know, I'm glad you hit on that one. That is another area that we're very, very interested in, which is we acquired Mozy. So that's a cloud-based backup capability that reaches to the consumer and is applicable to the enterprise as well. That's a perfect example of the move into the cloud computing space. But personal information management is also very key there, and we also acquired a company called Pi, which
I didn't know much. I mean, I don't think anyone knew much about it at the time you acquired it, right?
Right, and Pi is focused on personal information management and how people work with their own information, and can do and if you secure and store that information into the cloud, then how do you actually allow for secure collaboration, secure search and mining, and information retrieval? So it's very much in line with another dimension of opportunity, which is personal information management. And the third part of that is we also acquired iOmega.
Mm-hmm.
And iOmega has a very strong presence in consumer storage. And so, you know, what I can envision is you tie those three things together, and, you know, it's early days, but you know, areas for incubation and investment is personal information management for the consumer using home storage sentinels devices, which are backed up seamlessly to the cloud,
mm-hmm.
and allow you to get access to your information wherever you are.
Yeah.
Right? So it's a point of presence and ingest with then secure security and recovery capabilities in a cloud environment.
I mean, it sounds like you naturally run into this company called Google in that area, right? Because, you know, Google lets me back up my word processing documents and my calendar in the cloud and lets me do some level of sharing and collaboration, right?
Right. So,
and Google Wave, which I guess is the buzzword these days, apparently will go further in that direction.
Yeah, so clearly Google is a player in this space. But at the same time, you know, there's places where you run into Google and there's places where you don't. And I think very much when you talk about internet access to text information, Google is very, very, very prominent and has kind of paved the way, right? And the Google model in that sense is very compelling. But at the enterprise level, it's not compelling, and you don't really run into Google very much. And their foray into enterprise search, for example, with Google appliances, really hasn't caught on very much at all. Because there, it's about the semantics of information, and it's different forms of information.
But I thought we were talking about personal information management in terms of consumers, but you think that's stuff that also applies to employees of big companies or small, medium-sized companies, too?
Yeah, and even information integration, information is getting more rich all the time. Our personal information, I'll give you a perfect example, the juxtaposition we were talking about before, personal information management and healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that Google has a lock on the personal healthcare market just because they're a large penetrator of being able to mine information that is text-oriented and can host stateless applications in the cloud. Personal information management as it relates to my identity, my MRIs, my prescriptions, my healthcare, my all of that information about me comes in many, many forms. It's structured data, it's unstructured data, it's semi-structured file data, it's documents and text as well. And if we're really going to solve the healthcare problem, we have to be able to do a lot more self-care
imagine EMC developing applications around that you would probably partner with people that wanted to develop those applications.
Right. It's not about, in the end of the day, the analogy I use is what we're actually focused on is information integration and transformation. So the ability to take and federate heterogeneous data sources, all of these different sources of record, connect them together, aggregate them, and then transform the information into normalized form for fit for purpose. It's kind of like information harvesting as opposed to information analytics. Like my wife, to use the analogy, my wife is a great cook. And but when she cooks, she's Italian, and when she cooks a meal, she doesn't even necessarily use a recipe, but she assembles the ingredients and she cooks up the food. And at the end, when I eat the meal, that's akin to business intelligence or analytics, right? Mm-hmm. That's how you derive value from the assembly. What she doesn't do is she doesn't go out into the field and cut down the crops, and she doesn't go into the woods and pick her mushrooms, and she doesn't have to grate up the peppers, right? That is food harvesting and preparation. There's a whole industry around that. The same thing is true of information. In order to be able to mine information for a purpose, you have to get the raw data into information forms which are fit for purpose. And that's where I see, for EMC, a very significant related opportunity, so that the analyses and the applications that do the highest order analyses can actually operate on prepared information. And I think we're seeing data warehousing, for example, go through a very fundamental transformation in the industry, where it's becoming the timed value of information delivery is demanding that we cut down the window between operational information interaction, right?
And when it's available
to use it. So that's another aspect of information integration and delivery.
And so do you have...
And I think these are opportunities where we can play and then tie that back to personal information management and its application into healthcare provisioning, again, is about lots and lots of sources being brought together, correlated with identity, global identity, and then securely accessed and collaborated on.
Does this PI group, which is in Seattle, right, or Portland?
Yeah.
Does that report up to you? I mean, you have oversight for that?
No, I certainly have interaction with all of the divisions in terms of their product technical leaders. And I run a CTO council, which brings together the technical leaders across the company. I have an advisory team, which is the very senior technologists across all the divisions. We get together on a weekly or biweekly basis to talk about our directions and strategy. But none of them actually
report to me as business units.
They're in their BUs and in their lines of business. And my role is to really focus on the cross-cutting connecting the dots between the technology product stacks so that we can deliver higher order value